If you have a Bible, I'm going to preach today a great and exciting message on 2 Kings, chapter through 6 and 7. But this account goes from verse 24 of chapter 6, and it goes to verse 20 of chapter 7. So I'll just tell you what's happening in the first bit. This is a time where Israel was besieged. The people of God were besieged by the nation of Syria. They didn't do anything to really deserve it. Syria just came up and besieged them. And they before they attacked them, they cut the city off. So when you besiege a city, you stop everything from going into that city. So Israel could not get any supplies. They could not get any produce. They could not get the stuff in from the farm into the city. The city was walled. And this siege went on for a long time, so much so that people were paying about $8,000 for a donkey's head, equivalent today. There was just no food. And people were even cannibalizing their children. So it was an incredibly difficult time. And the people of God were pressurized. They started to doubt. They were very trying times because of the hunger. And they were angry. And they were backsliding because they started to eat things they shouldn't eat. And at that time, in verse 31, I find this quite amusing, the time of the siege, the king says, "I'm going to have Elisha's head." I don't know, when things go wrong, always people who are in the flesh seem to look for the prophetic voice and try to snuff it out. But that was because the king was the son of Jezebel. And that Jezebelic spirit always tries to take the head of the prophet, to silence what God is saying in a land. That's why Herod's daughter took the head of John the Baptist, to silence the prophetic voice so the people have no vision. So here's a time where Israel was besieged, and the king said, "Go and kill Elisha." I don't know why he blamed Elijah, but he did. And Elisha knew what was happening, and he said, "They're coming to get me." And while he was talking, he said these words in verse 7. Elisha said, chapter 7. Verse 1, Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a seer of wheat shall be sold for a shekel." Now don't forget, a donkey's head was selling for 8,000 shekels, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer of whom the king learned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make the windows of heaven open, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "We are sitting here until we die. If we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll also die. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Assyrians. When they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into the camp and ate and drank, and from it took silver and gold clothing, and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some more away from it. Then they said to one another, "We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp. Surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me tell you now what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone out and camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get them into the, and we'll get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, please, let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who were consumed. So let us send them out to sea. Therefore, they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan. Indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seer of fine flour was sold for 1 shekel, and 2 seers of barley for 1 shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the officer of whose hand he led to have charge over the gate, but the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. I'll stop there. Father, as we come to your word, I ask that you make it life to us and speak into our hearts what you're saying today. I'm preaching this word today because it's a moment where God's people, as I said earlier, were under siege at very, very trying times. Very, very trying times. And they were hunger and you know, they were besieged. And it's a wonderful account of how no situation is hopeless. No situation for God's people is ever hopeless. We are people who serve a living God who works and cares and loves for his people. And the enemy had besieged Israel. And sometimes we in our own life can feel besieged by the enemy. There's nothing we've done to deserve it. There's nothing we've done wrong. We're just besieged. There's times where that can happen individually. It's times when it can happen corporately. It's times when it can happen nationally. And I believe we've been living in a season where the church, particularly in the West, has been under a similar a season where there's been seasons of great economic distress. There's been seasons of political distress where the church has been besieged. The church has been besieged by leftist and enemy oppositions. And the church has been bunkered down, praying, sometimes wondering if it's even going to survive, the church in the West. It's like that we're being pressurized by a great pressure. And in that time, some people, like the king of Israel here, he began to doubt. And it's important at a time when we are besieged, when we are pressured. It's interesting what the king of Israel did. He said to me, he said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why then should I wait for him any longer? Very important when your life is under pressure that you do not blame God for what the enemy is doing. I see it over and over again. When bad stuff happens, people blame God for what the enemy is doing. And the tragedy of that is what you need to do is turn to God. But if you're blaming God, you'll never turn to him. You'll never turn to the one who wants to help you if you blame him for what the enemy is doing. People say, oh, God's in control of everything. We have a real opponent. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and they are real. So don't blame God for what the enemy is doing when you're besieged. You know, God is famous for turning situations around. Hopeless situations around. He is famous for turning hopeless situations around because that's how he is glorified as God Almighty. And in this situation, what did we just sing? He turned my life around. He turned the situation around. And the Word of God tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. So just as these people were besieged and felt hopeless, you can have times of economic distress. You can go through those times where you feel hopeless. Times where the pressure on your life is so great, you despair. Could you imagine how despairing it was when they were thinking of eating their own children? That is a real pressure. And we can face real pressure in life. Real pressure. Hard times. But you know, The scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, God has promised to deliver them. Out of them all, God has promised to deliver them by his power. And I want to show you something here. When God begins to move, it's just so important we understand God's ways. The Bible says that the people of Israel knew the works of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. It's very important that we understand how God moves, because the Bible says his ways are not our ways. And when God was about to bring about a spectacular deliverance, when God was about to turn the situation completely on its head, they went from a time of extreme lack and pressure, $8,000 for a donkey's head, to a seah of wheat for a shekel, for a dollar. The whole situation was turned around dramatically. They went from lack to abundance. They went from being besieged by the enemy to seeing the enemy totally destroyed by the power of God. They went from one calamitous situation to victorious situation. Like I said, it's important we understand God's ways. What does God do before he's about to move? And I believe this message is relevant for the church today, because I believe the church has been in a position where it's been besieged, but that siege is ending. With the pressure that's been on the church, you can see it even in America through what's happening with Donald Trump. I'm not a political person, but the powers that were stopping prayer in the schools, the powers that were trying to close down the voice of God, God is now moving against those powers. Now, it's important to understand, before God changes the situation and changes the scenery and the atmosphere completely, because I believe that's what he's doing today, it's important we understand what he does. Whatever is about the God is going to move powerfully, move significantly, move in a way where it's remembered for a lifetime. This was remembered for a lifetime this day. I'll tell you what he does. First of all, he tells his prophets. He tells his prophets ahead of time what he's going to do. If you go to Amos 3:7, it says that God tells his prophets first before he does something. And all through the scriptures, you see this. Before something spectacular happens, the prophetic voice is declared. What God is saying in heaven is about to happen. He speaks that to a man or a woman, and they speak it out, they declare it. That declaration is made, and the Bible says, you shall declare a thing, the word from heaven, and it shall be established by God. You see it in Isaiah 37. We know this, a lot of us know this story, a time where Judah was besieged at this time, and Sennacherib came up to destroy them. And we know that they prayed, and then the angel of God went out at night and attacked the Syrian army and killed 185,000 men. But before that happened, you look at verse 33 of chapter 37, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, this is the word from Isaiah the prophet, he shall not come into the city, he shall not shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same way shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I'll defend this city and save it for my own sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed the camp of the Assyrians. So before God moved, and the angel of God moved and did something spectacular, the prophetic word had to be declared. If you go to 2 Chronicles, we're often speak about this word when it comes to praise and worship. And this is a time where God brought about a spectacular victory against the enemy through the power of praise and worship. That an army went out, an army attacked Israel, and Israel sent another army out against the enemy singing praises. And as they praised God, God himself ambushed the enemy, and a great victory was brought through the power of praise and worship. They didn't even have a weapon in their hand. But again, before that happened, it said, the Spirit of the Lord, when they were seeking God, came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah. And he said, listen, all of you Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them out at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. And when he heard that word, this is what happens when you hear the true prophetic word, the word from heaven. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Jehoshaphat then makes his speech, and he says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So when God is about to change the atmosphere of the city, when God's back to change a nation, when God's back to change the world, when God is going to move powerfully, when he's going to deal with principalities and powers which have been keeping the church powerless and besieged and voiceless, before he does that, he releases the prophetic word into his prophets and they decree it. I want to tell you, that's happening today. Even when I speak here now, I'm telling you, God is moving. God is changing things. God is going to change his church. God is moving his church into a position of power and effectiveness. And the voice is being declared all over the world. I heard even the other day, someone sent me something from Phil Pringle in Sydney from C3. And he says, there's a move of the Holy Spirit beginning now. If the church could hear the sound, there is already the sound of abundant rain. That's the word I ministered last Tuesday. So God speaks before he's about to move, before he's going to do something, he speaks. And it's so important, you know, there's 1 Kings 30, there's a king who he didn't value the prophetic ministry. And I know the prophetic ministry has been abused in certain places, but you can't not value. We need the prophetic ministry in our midst. Elisha said to a king as a prophetic act, strike this arrow to the ground. And as you strike it, this is an act of God, this is a prophetic act, as you strike it, the power of God will be released against the enemy. So the king went like this. I don't have a stick, but he just went. Because he had no passion, he had no zeal, he had no belief in the prophetic word. And Elisha said, because of your lack of belief and zeal for the prophetic, he said, you get three temporary victories. Just three temporary victories instead of plunder, instead of permanent victory against the enemy. And that's what they got. Instead of deliverance. Often that's how we are, because we fail to recognize what God is saying through his servants. So before God moves, he actually brings Elijah. And Elijah says, he says, tomorrow, he just speaks the word of God. Tomorrow, seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seers at the gate of Samaria. And then one of the officers says, even if the windows of heaven will be open. That couldn't be. Very dangerous not to receive the prophetic word. So Elijah says, yeah, it's going to happen, but you won't see it. And sure enough, that man was trampled at the gates. You'll see it, but you won't taste it. That's because the prophetic word, the real word that comes from heaven, never, ever, ever, ever fails. It never, ever, ever, ever fails if it's really the voice of God that we're speaking. So before God moves, he speaks. And I keep saying now that God is doing a new thing. God is moving. There is a move of the Holy Spirit began. But I want to tell you, there's something else that is needed. These lepers, I love them. These four men, they're at the gate. When the word is decreed, when that word is decreed, movement is happening in the heavenlies. I want to tell you, you've got to move with the word. You've got to move with what heaven's doing. We're in a season now where God's people, the book of Acts is written because they acted. These lepers, they just got up and they moved. They moved in accordance with the word. And I wonder what tell you happened. Because the word had been declared, eight leprous feet were marching. And God so magnified their movement. God so magnified what they were doing. God so multiplied what they were doing. The enemy heard the army of 80,000 marching. I tell you, if you'll get up and move now, God will magnify and multiply what you're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, this is a time. This is the time. See what happened? The king. This is what some Christians mean. The king goes, God's doing this. And then when the move started to happen, when God started to move, the king, even when the lepers came back, the king said, I don't believe what's happening. And what he did, because he's not in sync with God, he starts using fear talk. And he says, no, this is a trap from the enemy. If we go out there, they're just going to ambush them. I hear so much fear talk from the body of Christ. God's not moving. God's not changing things in America. God's not doing things. No. It's all just going to be the same. It's all just going to be doom and gloom. We're just going to hang on till Christ returns. It's wrong. It's error. God is moving. God is doing a new thing. God is repositioning his church today for a season of harvest and season of victory before Christ returns. There is a realignment. There is a repositioning. There, in this passage, Israel experiences a new dawn, no more siege, but prosperity and victory. There's a new dawn coming upon the church today. No more siege mentality. God is going to position the church to have a voice again. God is going to position the church to go forward again. God is going to release favor upon the church again. Things are changing. Harvest is coming. Revival is upon the church even now. There's a new dawn. You know, I just feel someone here today, you know, just move. Begin that new service. You know, Mick and Leanne, begin that new service. Move into that new position. Go out on the street. Witness to that family. Whatever you do, God's going to bless it. God's going to magnify it. God's going to multiply it. Whatever it is God's called you to do, do it now. Move. 8 leprous feet. That's what he did. You don't have to be special. Lepers were considered unclean. God's just looking for availability, not ability at this age. He's going to use people. He's going to use nobodies. He's going to use, you know what he's going to use? I tell you what he's going to do. He's got a prophetic revelation right there. The lepers are people that are associated with shame. Some people here, you've been living in shame. You've done things in your past. They went from shame to fame. God is going to use people that have actually crossed lines they never should have crossed. He's going to say, my ways are not men's ways. I use those people because those forgiven much, love much. There are people here, you've done that, you've been to that place. God says, you're not disqualified, I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to put you in this book. I'm going to write, I give you a chapter of the book of Acts just because of my mercy and my grace. From shame to fame. As you move, as these people moved, I want to tell you what happened. The enemy fled. The enemy fled. I want to tell you, when you're anointed, when the Spirit of God's been poured out, when revival starts, the enemy is afraid of you. I don't mean to say that the enemy doesn't do stuff. What I'm saying, when God's people start to move, when the Spirit of God starts to be released, enemy doesn't want to face you. They fled. They fled in the face. I'll tell you what happens when you move. These lepers moved. Lack was turned into abundance. Lack and famine was turned into abundance. In this hour, Jesus promised us abundant life. Where the enemy has closed you down, where the enemy has besieged you, trying to cut off your provision, I want to tell you, you move into what God's doing, believe the word of God that's coming down, abundance will come upon your life. Abundant peace, abundant joy. You know the prophet said? He said, Lord, look. If the Lord would make the windows of heaven open, could this thing be? When that word was declared, and when the lepers moved in agreement with the word, you know what happened? Heaven was open. I want to tell you, the heavens will open over everybody who believes what God is doing today. Angels will assist you. When you start decreeing the word of God, that what God is doing, you know what's so important about the prophetic word? Psalm 103 says this, when you speak what God is doing today, when you decree we are in a time of victory, we are in a time of revival, we are in a time of the move of the Holy Spirit, when you speak what heaven is speaking, It says, bless you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. When you start to speak in agreement with the prophetic word of what God's doing, the heavens open and the angels come and perform his words for you. I tell you, you're going to see an open heaven. The heavens open over life mean there's heaven's provision coming into your life. There's heaven's protection over your life. There's heaven's victory over your life. There's heaven's healing in your life. Jacob, when he went to sleep, when all he had was a rock for a pillow, he went to sleep and God showed him something. And he showed him a ladder going up into heaven. I want to tell you, the spiritual realm is very real. It's more real than anything. Life is primarily spiritual. Jacob saw a ladder going into heaven. And he saw on that ladder, angels were descending and ascending. So he saw in the spirit the open heaven, the realm of heaven being opened. And there are angels that actually assist our lives. There are angels who protect us. There are angels who carry out healing when we decreed you are healed. There are angels that carry out deliverance when we speak what God is doing, that you are delivered. There are angels who minister on our behalf. But I want to tell you how those angels work. Those angels work according to faith. The people who are believing what God's doing today, the people who are moving in accord with what God's doing today, the people who are trusting what God's doing today, the people are speaking by faith what God's doing today, the angels come down and work for those people. When you don't do that, the angels go back up the ladder because they're bored with you. Hallelujah, that's the truth. You just heard something, that's the truth. If you won't believe the word of God, if you won't believe what God is saying, If you don't connect to heaven and hear what God is doing and move with it, if you don't believe God for anything, I know some unbelieving believers, they don't believe God for anything. They just believe doctrine. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. No vision. No understanding what God's doing. No moving with God. Heavens are not open over you when you live like that. Church, the heavens do not open over you unless you're believing. Unless you're moving forward. I want to say, these lepers, you know what they did? I tell you what they did. They moved decisively. God hates a double-minded person. He says, double-minded person gets nothing. I want to tell you right now, whatever God's calling you into, move, and don't move back. Don't look back. Don't be double-minded. Don't just be decisive. Move forward. What God's calling you into. Move in agreement with the Word of God. But what he's saying, there's a move of the Holy Spirit moving now. Do exploits. Now is the time for God's people to do exploits. Witness to that family. Cross the road. God will magnify. Amplify. The enemy will flee before you. Your lack be turned into abundance. Everything that is hopeless will become hopeful, full of hope. Because why? Not because I'm standing here saying it. Because the word of God can never fail. The word of God can never fail. Even if you've been living in shame, be prepared for God to use you. Because there is now, the siege in the church is ending. There is a time, we're living in a time, I want to tell you, of prophetic realignment, repositioning, relocating. You're seeing it in America, in the political realm, but it's happening spiritually. God is pouring out his spirit upon the church, and God is going to use the church greatly in this time. The church is going to come back in all its former glory. It's going to become a spotless bride again. It's going to become a victorious bride again. It's going to become a fruitful force again. And God is doing, he's moving now. He's reversing. He's going to magnify your efforts, everything you do. Going to multiply your efforts. You know, I like this just before I finish. The lepers, when they went out, they started to collect the bounty of the army. They moved forward to the Syrian camp, and Syrians just fled before them. According to the word of God, that was declared, they just fled. And then the lepers went into the army. They just started to say, there's gold here, there's silver here, there's abundance here. The enemy has just left it. So many times when God's people move in according to the word of God, you know what? They don't just get victory, they get plunder. Because we are more than conquerors. A conqueror just gets victory. A victor just gets victory, but a conqueror plunders. I want to tell you, this is a season where you'll plunder the enemy. Plunder the enemy for provision. Plunder the enemy. And they plundered the enemy. And as they're plundering the gold and the silver, all, taking all that the enemy has, you know what they said? They said, look, we're just going to go and hide this and keep it for ourselves. And then they said these words in verse 9. They said to one another, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. And if we may remain silent. This is a day of good news. Sorry. And if we remain silent, if we wait until morning, something bad will happen to us. I want to tell you, this is a day of good news. The gospel is extraordinarily good news. Don't remain silent this hour. Don't remain silent. This is a day not to keep it to yourself, not to hide it. This is a day where God wants his people to speak the good news, to share it, to not keep it. And as you do that, the heavens are going to be opened over you. The heavens are going to be opened over you. Everything you need to share the good news, all the anointing you need, all the angelic assistance you need, heaven will be open. All the provision you need to share the good, it's going to be opened over your life. Whatever you lack to do what God called you to do. You know what happens with people? They think, in order to serve God, in order to fulfill the call on my God, I need certain provision. And I won't go till I get it. I tell you what happens with God. God says, this is what I want you to do. Do it. As you do it, you walk in that, the provision follows. The heavens open over you and the provisions follow. It's not man's provision. It's heaven's provision, and it opens as we move in according to the word. I hope you're getting this today. I hope you're getting it because there is a new dawn. That's what I'm saying. There is a new dawn breaking. It's a glorious new dawn. That's why we're repositioning the church. God's bringing more people because there's going to be a great harvest of souls. God's going to use you. God is going to use you. God is going to give you a double anointing for this season. Bring deliverance. Everything that is stolen. I just decree today in Jesus' name, everything that has been stolen from God's people is restored in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that is pressurized is turning around now, according to the word of God, in Jesus' name. Everything that has been pruned becomes abundant and fruitful now, according to the word of God, in Jesus' name. Everything that has been prepared is released now, according to the word of God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you are a God of the new dawn. That you are speaking a new dawn into your church right now. This is a season of great change. This is a season of victory, Lord, where there has been no victory in the past. This is a season of divine turnaround. This is a season, Lord, where you are moving. Father, I ask, Lord, that this not only be my word today, that you confirm it to us today, Lord. That, Lord, like those lepers, we would simply move into what you're doing today. And as we move, Lord, as we move, we shall see the enemy flee. As we move, we shall see heaven open. As we move, we shall see a double anointing released. As we move, we shall see a decree, Lord, and angels shall carry out our words. And as we move, Lord, everything that has been shameful will be removed. Father, your people will become famous in heaven by faith and by faith alone. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are a victorious bride. We are a victorious church. That you know how to deliver your people. And that in you, Lord, we are not only delivered, but we are conquerors, Lord.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors, Lord. Because you lead us, Lord. We bless you for what you're doing. I want you to stand up, church. Excuse me. I want you to stand up. Father, we thank you that everything the enemy does, you turn for our good. Father, I thank you for every person here. You know exactly how much pressure to apply. You know how to use the pressure of the enemy for our good. Father, I thank you that you don't allow more pressure than we can take. And I thank you, Lord, there is a time. There is a time. There is your time where you get up and move. And Father, every power of hell is destroyed. That everything that has been afflicted us flees from our life. Father, I decree that into the heavenlies today, that this is a time of victory. This is a time of movement. This is a time of momentum. This is a time for your people to move forward. And this is a time for your power to destroy everything that pressurizes your people. Father, I prophesy kingdom advance in this house today, Lord, that as we go forward, Lord, you'll go ahead of us. We praise you. We praise you for the heavens that are opening over every person of faith today. Heavens of provision, heavens of protection. We bless you for what you're doing. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen.